Speaking on steps 8 and 9, which are made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except where to do so would injure them or others. Todd.
I was going to go around, but since you stepped aside, I'll take the shortcut.
Hi, everybody. My name is Todd Beckus. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight. I remember when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. Let me adjust myself here. I can see my head. It's not Halloween. I won't be the headless horseman. Anyway, I remember when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and I started to work the steps. The two steps that scared me the most were step 8 and step 9. Simply because if you're anything like me, there was a lot of things I've done in my past that I'm not really proud of. And I didn't want to go and apologize. I didn't want to make amends. And they are in order for a reason. The steps are in order for a reason. And they're written as such so that guys like me can kind of take it piecemeal, kind of become willing, become ready to make amends. And again, a little disclaimer, these are as I understand. These are the steps as I understand. This is my experience with the steps. I don't speak for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's just my understanding, my perception. That's one of the things I love about AA is whatever works for you, that's the right way to do it. And the steps are really open to interpretation, I guess is the best way to put it for me. So when I got to step 8, one of the things that really kind of made it a little bit more palatable is I just had to make a list of all persons I had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. And I, just like before, what I did, I went through, did the research. I went the steps we took. That's a great, great book, The Steps We Took by Joe McHugh. The 12 and 12, the big book, has a lot of suggestions, a lot of helpful suggestions. And I utilized all those to put this together. One of the paragraphs in the steps we took are, people are usually reluctant and sometimes fearful about steps 8 and 9 and the process they require. These are the last actions that we have to take before the promises start to be fulfilled. That's so true. The promises are written right after step 9. If you look in the big book, that's where they come, page 83. Right after step 9, the promises come. So it's implied that if you're going to realize any of these promises, that you are working the steps. And I found that to be true. It doesn't mean that things weren't getting better. It doesn't mean some of the promises weren't happening early on. But in the big book, that's when the promises really start to happen. This is the process of steps 8 and 9. These steps are the last hurdle of getting rid of the guilt and remorse we have over things we've done in the past. That's so true. I don't care who you are. I came in Alcoholics Anonymous with a lot of baggage. A lot of baggage. A lot of my past I'm not proud of. I'm not here. It's not a contest. There's a lot of things that I did that I need to make amends for. That's just all there was to it. And that's what really scared me, to approach people to actually make an amends. But step 8 doesn't require that. It requires me to make a list. And when I made the list, I didn't have this, but I've done it later on, there's 4 categories for amends on this 8th step. The first one's the amends that I'm going to make immediately, the ones I'll make now. The second one is the ones I'll make later, I'm going to make. And then there's a third column, it's the ones I may or may not make. And then the last one, hell no, no way in God's earth am I ever going to make this amends. And there were people on that amends list that I was never going to make amends. That's the truth. And so I didn't necessarily do that in a column when I first started to make the amends, but I promise you, every one of those, it was kind of implied, it was kind of understood. There was people on there, there was no way in hell I was going to make an amends. No way. because I really wasn't sorry for what I did. You know, almost like they deserved it. I mean, that's the truth. Of course, when you incorporate the steps in your life, and you start to see your part. And that's what this is about. It's not about what they did. It's not about what he or she did. It's my side of the street. I'm cleaning up my side of the street. It doesn't matter what you did. Maybe it was a mutual thing. Maybe it was what, but it's about what I did. I'm cleaning up my side of the street. I'm working these steps. I'm making these amends for myself. Not for you. I'm making them for me. To make me feel better. And the steps we took. First, we are told to make a list of all the people we had harmed. If we look at one part of the process at a time and complete in phases, we see how easy to make a list of people we had harmed. And it really wasn't bad. I knew who I owed an amends to. I did. You know, I had my fourth step. I had my resentment. So I knew who I owed an amends to. There was no doubt. I knew who I owed an amends to. The hard part that I had was becoming willing. There were just a lot of fear. There was a lot of things I did that I was so ashamed of to go and make that amend. It was difficult. It was a difficult process. But the important thing was I did. I made this list. So now I have this list. What am I going to do with it? Well, that's where the action starts. I took the action. I wrote all these amends down. The action, step 9 says, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so, injure them or others. That's a disclaimer that's very important. It's not an ego thing. Early on, I remember kind of in my head going something like, I'm going to make amends for whatever, and they're going to do this, they're going to think what a wonderful guy I am. And you know what? Thank God I didn't do that. I think the most important thing when you go to make your amends, when you go to work, step 9, A, it's critical to consult your sponsor. Consult your sponsor. Because it's not an ego thing. It's not about me going and telling you what a wonderful guy I am because I'm sober. It's about making amends. I wanted to look it up in the dictionary. I got on my phone and amends, the definition is compensation for loss or injury. Not necessarily everybody that I made, I offended or hurt, was a financial amends. So amends, I need to make amends. I need to mend the wrong that I had done. Whether it was something physical, something I said, or financial. There was a lot of financial amends that I owed as well. But you have to be really careful about making amends. And I really, truly believe when you're ready to make amends to whoever it is, God's going to put that person in front of you. The most important thing I did was to make the list and pray. That was the most important thing to start these amends. I had to make a list and pray. Because there's a lot of people on there, as I said, that I was never going to make an amends to. One person in particular, when I lead, I talk about my last drunk, and I talk about being in Edinburgh. I talk about this gentleman who had his motorcycle there. And I pushed it over. I was going to take a leak in the gas tank, but I didn't. I pushed it over instead. And I got kicked out of the trailer park. And that was kind of my bottom. Now, that would have been one of the ones that never, you know, I don't care about it. I'm never going to make an amends to him. He doesn't mean anything to me. You know, he deserved that. That's where my head was at when I walked in here. But the beautiful thing that happens when you incorporate God into your life, when you are trying to make yourself better yourself by working the steps, you start to look at it a little bit different. That's why it's so important to make the list and become willing. It doesn't say become willing in a day. It doesn't say become willing in a week. It says become willing. And it took a long time. It took a long time to make that amend. I did make that amend. I'm going to talk about that because it's kind of funny. When God wants you to make the amend, that person is put right in your path. The second part of the step says become willing to make amends to them all. We must become willing to do this, and if we're not willing, we pray for the willingness until it comes. And sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it took me a long time. You know, pride, ego. I still got a lot of pride. I got a lot of ego, and I didn't want to make an amends to some of these people. But so I have my list. I'm praying to become willing. And the immediate ones to make amends, of course, not only myself. A lot of people don't put themselves on the amends list. I certainly had to make an amends to myself. I treated myself poorly for a lot of years. And how did I do that? I just started to live better. I started to try to live better. I started to try to treat myself better. I started to try to do the right thing. The second ones that were critical on my list that were now were my parents. I didn't get to see the harm that I did to my family until I became a parent. And I think about a lot of the things that I put my parents through. I made my family sick. So when I approached my parents, sat them down, it wasn't that big of a deal. I wasn't afraid to go to my parents. But when I made my amends to them, they were just so thrilled and so tickled that I wasn't abusing myself and doing the things that I was doing before. That was an easy amends. It truly was. And when I stopped drinking, I was making living amends to them. But I actually sat them down and I made an amends to them. Now, how many times in the past have I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry, I'm never going to do it again, I'm never going to do it again, I'm never going to do it again." And I meant it when I said it, but what I really meant was, the next time it's going to be different. You know, there's that insanity. I didn't want to hurt my family like I did, but I did. And how many times did I say I was sorry? So when I went to make an amends, it had nothing to do with being sorry. It had everything to do with a heartfelt amend. I'm making amends. I'm fixing my past. Trying to fix my past. Trying to live a better way. Trying to make you proud of me instead of, "Oh my God, there's that kid. What did that kid do this time?" And it went over really well. There were some other things that in my past. The big book talks a lot about the amends. They really do a good job. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply tell him or her we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are here to sweep our side of the street. That's critical. Because there's some people who, they had a part. But I'm here to sweep off my side of the street. Realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him or her what to do. His or her faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be grateful with the result. And I found that to be true. I didn't run out. When I first started to make amends, I didn't run out just to make an amends. When God thought it was ready for me to make amends, that person was there. And I'm going to get to some specifics here shortly. I think the most important part of step 9 is accept to do so would injure them or others. As I had said before, in some of the early talks, I had the morals of a tomcat. I was the kind of a person that when I was out, if somebody's wife came on to me, I didn't turn it away. And I'm not proud of that. That's just a part of my past. And so when it came time to make amends, I certainly wasn't going to go up to that family and make an amends for sleeping with somebody's wife. That's just crazy. That's insane. That's the part they're talking about, except to do so with them or others. How do I make amends for that? I don't do it anymore. You know, I'm trying to live a useful, productive life, and my moral compass is much better than it ever was in the past. I don't do those things today. That's how I make my amends. And I can't stress enough about a sponsor, going over to amends with a sponsor. It's implied. We made direct amends to such people. And that means there's a we implied, not I made direct. We made direct amends. And I think that's absolutely positively critical that you run it by a sponsor, somebody you trust. Because you could really get in a lot of trouble with some of the amends. And I'll get to that. One of the amends that I owed, I used to work bingo. And one night, I helped myself to some of those scratch, all those tickets, and I won pretty big. And that's one of those ones where I was going to run in and this is what I did and I'm such a good guy, and but I didn't do that. I talked to my sponsor about it, and he, whoa, he said, wait a minute, time out. Why don't you go talk to the priest of the parish before you do anything? So I did. That's exactly what I did. And there were other financial amends that I had owed. Theft from stores. We sat down and we talked. And we come up with a way to make amends. And I paid back every penny. Every penny that I had taken. I made a financial amends for that. And we come up with a way where my name wasn't involved. Because he said, Todd, it's not like it was back in the 30s and 40s. Your reputation is at stake today. You're changing your life. You're living a different way. I was willing to go and tell these people what I had done, and I was willing to make amends, a financial amends right there, but he thought it would be better to do it the way that we did it. And I paid back every penny and then some. I paid back every penny of the store that I stole from and then some. And I'm not bragging. I owed that. I didn't do anything special. I didn't do anything above and beyond. If I wouldn't have stole it, I wouldn't have had to make that amend. But I made that amend. I made a financial amend. And it's just what I was supposed to do. Back in the 80s, I was in a car accident. This is the one where I failed to negotiate the straightaway. And they hauled my car to the dealership. And that was in 1988. And for several years after that, I thought I owed, I didn't know that I owed for that tow. I owed a financial amends to the company that towed my car. And that was always in the back of my head. And I was terrified to make that amend. I was terrified. Finally, one morning after work, I used to work third shift, I jumped in my car and I drove out to Northeast and I went to the dealership, or the gentleman who towed my car. God bless you. And I walked up and I introduced myself and I said, look, back in around 1988, this is like 92, 93, I don't know. I said, you towed my car. I wrecked up on Route 89 and I never paid you. I'm here to make right on that. He says, oh no. He says, what happens is we tow it to the dealer pays us and then you pay the dealer. So here I didn't owe an amends, and I was in the back of my head. I thought I owed my amends. I was so terrified to do it. I didn't owe an amends. That was just one of those ones that's just the way that it worked out. My parents, part of the amends, part of the things that I used to do. I'm number two, I found out, but of the kids we grew up with, I'm the oldest. And what I used to do with my parents, I have younger brothers and sisters, and there's another generation in the house. I have a brother that's 12 years old, younger than me, and I have a brother that's 15 years old, 15 years younger than me. And what I used to do was to go out and spend weekends with them and let my parents take off, go do whatever they wanted to do, go down to home for a weekend. And I'd watch the boys, and we'd have pizza and movie night or whatever. We spent a lot of time together. We'd go to amusement parks. They would come over and spend the night at my apartment. Those are the kind of things that I was doing to help make amends for my parents. I'd give my credit card every once in a while. I'd go have dinner. Those are the kind of things I was doing, trying to make up for my past. And that was really appreciated, and I felt really good to be able to do things like that, because for so long, I really was a poor son. I truly was a poor son. So those are the kind of things I was able to do once I got sober and got on my feet. Those are the kind of things I was able to do. There was one amends I talked about with prom. I drank a fifth of whiskey, and I was led to believe that they had these chaperones. The Crawford County State Police used to come to these dances, and they would chaperone them. I was led to believe that I hit a couple of them. And for many years when I led, I talked about that. I said I hit them. Because that's what was told to me. I don't remember tonight, obviously. So this gentleman who was there, who was part of that, I've known him for quite some time, from sight, and I'd run into them all over the place. And we'd have niceties, we'd say hi to each other, but I knew that I owed him an amends. I was terrified. I was terrified. I didn't want to, because I thought I hit him, and I was ashamed. I really was. I was ashamed. And when God's ready for you to make an amend, although I dodged it for many years, I mean that, many years, it happened to be one night I was at a Blood Bank Awards dinner, and there he was. It was just him and I standing there looking at each other. And I said, all right, God, it's now. So we started talking, and I started to bring up this night that happened many, many years ago. I said, do you remember a kid who drank too much many years ago back in the 80s, who made a real idiot of himself? He'd just stand there like this as I'm going on. He's got this big shitty grin on his face. And, oh, yeah. I said, did I hit you? He says, oh, no, no. He says, you swung, you missed, you fell between the toilet and the wall. You got wedged there. We figured you'd be all right until he got to the ambulance guy at the hospital, so we just left you there. That's what happened that night. So I didn't hit him. So there goes my 5 minutes of fame, I guess. For a while, I wore that as a badge, but I'm glad that I didn't hit him. I'm glad. And there's been several other men that were difficult. My cousins, I used to sneak into their house. I'd go down on my way home from my grandparents. It was on the way. And I would steal their pot. And I was terrified to go make that amend. I really wasn't. I didn't steal enough to maybe fill a bowl or something like that. And I was terrified to go down and steal and tell them about it. I was terrified. But I did it. I did it. I felt better. Shame, guilt, and remorse. Those are the things I carry with me all the time. And by making them in, I was able to shed that. I was able to get rid of that. They really weren't all that upset about it. We expected that. Oh, okay. Good. But I made the amend. I did make the amend. One amend that was real, it's one of those ones they accept to do so it would injure them or others, was the family of the gentleman who was killed in the car accident I was in. Now, to this day, as I stand before you, I still don't know who was driving that night. But regardless, I lived and he passed away. And I carried that with me for a long time. That was the reason for many drinks, many, many, many times. I hurt a lot of people because of that. And I look at that family, I'm able to look at that family now with love. And I'm able to look at them with a lot of empathy and realize what they went through. Regardless of who was driving that, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And how do you make an amend for something like that? Well, there's a couple things that happened. The first one was a place I used to work at. The brother-in-law, the husband of one of the sisters of the family, took sick. He ended up having cancer, and he ended up having to go to Buffalo about every day. He'd be driven to Buffalo for a cancer treatment. And they put his name out there at work. Anybody willing to drive him to Buffalo, you know, let him know. And I put my name out there. I was willing to do that. That was part of the amends. And I'm not doing that. I'm not telling you that to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you that because it was the only way I could think of after talking to my sponsor, because I didn't want to open up old wounds. But he was in need. I was capable and I was willing to do that. They never took me up on that, and I understand that, but at least, at the very least, I was willing. But in that accident, he had a younger brother who was my age. And I remember going to Westerville one night, Westerville meeting. I look over and guess who's standing there? Who come in and introduced himself was the brother of this kid that was killed in the car accident. And I carried a lot of shame, I carried a lot of guilt, and I carried a lot of remorse around after that car accident. And although it was relieved a little bit when I was willing to drive that gentleman to Buffalo so he could get his treatments, it was still in the back of my head. And I look over and there's Rick. Now Rick and I were really close at one time, and of course you can imagine with the accident, were the big wedge between us. But I gave Rick my number. I said, call me. And for a little while, he did. Rick never did get this program. And for maybe the next 15, 16, 17 years or so, every once in a while, my phone would ring, and it would be Rick looking for help again. Unfortunately, he took his own life. He died as a result of this disease. But I was willing. I tried. I truly tried to help him. That was part of the amends. And I told you about the one amends with the gentleman who I was never gonna make an amends for pushing his bike over. Swear to God, I was never going to. One of the amends, I used to live in Westerville. My mom's a Mary Kay lady, and she had a little business there. And behind, she was responsible for the yard work and things, so I didn't even tell her, I never mentioned it. I used to take my mower down and mow her lawn in the back. And I'm telling you, when God wants you to make an amend, you know, I'm willing, now I'm willing. This is probably about 15 years into my sobriety. I'm willing now. I'm willing to make an amends to this gentleman because I saw my part in it. So I'm there, I'm mowing the lawn, I look over. Guess who pulled in one of the lots back there with his truck? All right, God. So I walked over, said hi to him. I didn't do it like that. I walked over. You know, bounced over. James, you remember when? I'm so sorry. I apologize for my actions that particular night. And again, the men's was met with approval. We left friends. And those are some of the major amends that I've made in my past. There's been a lot of little ones here, and there's been some that I could never make. If you can't make an amends, if somebody isn't available, I would suggest talking to your sponsor. One of the good suggestions that they would make would be maybe to write a letter. Maybe visit their tombstone. But I would run those things by your sponsor because you can really get in a lot of trouble. I heard of a gentleman who rushed into an amends, and he probably shouldn't have. What he did is he took advantage of, and I don't know where this happened, I don't know what state, I don't know what year it happened, but he took advantage of somebody. They passed out, whatever, drunk. And he took advantage of him. He had his naked way with him. He got sober and he felt bad about that. And he wrote a letter to her. She used that letter to have him arrested and incarcerated. I mean, it was bad. I don't know how to handle men like that. I don't know, but I know that you don't want to send a letter like that, and it's an admission of guilt. I mean, he was arrested and incarcerated. That's the only part of the story that came out of it, of course. Was there more to it? I don't know. But that's why it's so important to run it by somebody. That's why it's so important to talk to somebody. The big book talks about the guy who took a sum of money from a hated, bitter rival and used it to discredit the guy, and then he got up in church and made an admission what he did. That was wonderful. That was great. But in today's society, it's probably wise to run it by somebody. He did run it by somebody before he got up and did that. And I really think it's a good idea to get up and to run it by somebody before you do anything. That's why it's so critical to have a sponsor and to talk to the sponsor before you make the amends, because there could be some big repercussions. And I'm so grateful that I did follow up my sponsor's suggestions. I was able to get rid of the guilt. I was able to get rid of the remorse. I'm a free man today. I'm a free man today. Do I still make mistakes? Sure, but that's what we're going to talk about next week in step 10. Because I still have amends I need to make, but that'd be more appropriate for next week. These are some of the ones that I made when I was drinking, that I come in and I wrote a fourth and fifth step that were glaring at me. That's what we're talking about tonight. Next week we're going to talk about continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. We'll talk more about that next week, but I'm running out of gas, I'm running out of things to say, so I think I said enough tonight, God's saying, so God bless you. Thank you for listening. That's it.
Thank you, Todd. So now we'd like to open things up for questions and answers. Is there somebody here who has a question for Todd? Go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on Zoom, just go ahead and speak up when you have an opportunity. Who wants to get us started?
Thank you, Todd. I really got a lot out of your message.
Thank you.
So have you ever run into a situation, you say God usually presents that person, do you ever have a situation where that person just happens to be there, but it doesn't feel right?
Nope.
To make that amends?
When it's just been my experience, I can only speak for me. When God wanted to make an amends, that person was put in my path when God wanted them on that path. That's just my experience. Mm-hmm. Another one was a place I used to work at back in high school. And I didn't do them right. It wasn't that I stole anything, but I was really a poor employee. It's when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I was starting to really get into my drinking. And I went down, Charlie and I were on our way to the Chautauqua Conference. This is back in the mid-90s. And the owner of the company was sitting there at Freeport Restaurant. We went to Freeport to have something to eat. Now, I knew I owed him an amends, but I never thought I'd ever see him again. And there he was. So, when I'm ready to make amends, when God's ready for me to make an amends, that person's put my path. And I was telling you about the gentleman, the Crawford County State, the Renacost would call me, that he was in my path many times, and I chose not to. I believe God wanted me to make an amends, but I chose not to at that particular time. I was terrified. I was really terrified because I thought I hit him. I really thought I hit him and his partner. That's what was told to me. So I was very ashamed of that, and I was really afraid to make that amend. But time and a place came, and I just knew.
And one more question.
Sure.
I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, but if you are a part of something that happened, maybe illegally or whatever, and even though you might not have been a participant, but you knew what was happening and you had information, do you owe an amends even though you weren't participating? Like, do you owe an amends by going to the police? And I'll tell you why I'm asking you that, because I know one person told me that he had murdered somebody in Winter Green Gorge. Now, I was never asked, but that has haunted me that I may have known something, and I wouldn't know who to make an amends to, like I had information. But I guess we're not supposed to make amends for somebody else. But
yeah, that's I think
that's next
subject
week
for a different conversation. That's pretty deep. That's pretty heavy. That's the kind of things that even a sponsor, something like that's pretty heavy. I don't know how to answer that one. That's one I don't know how to answer, because that's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy, and I'm just here to sweep my side of the street off. So, and that being said, I don't know that I owe an amend to anybody, but I don't know how I'd handle that. I don't know right now. Thank you.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Colleen.
Colleen, alcoholic. I'm going to be sober for 3 years, but I still haven't made a couple amends, especially to my ex-husband. Is there a time limit for that, or, you know, should I wait till God puts them right in front of me, or, you know, what should I do?
Step 8 says, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. There's absolutely no time limit. But, don't drag your feet either. You can use that as an excuse not to make an amend, which I did. I mean, I put them on the never list. I was never going to make an amend. But as you're incorporating the steps in your life, as God is overtaking your life, you're starting to change. And I really think when you're ready to make that amend, God will put that person in front of you. You'll just know. I really, truly believe. That's my belief. That's my experience. That when I'm ready to make an amend, you don't want to make it. It's just one of the timing is critical. They talk. Timing is absolutely positively critical. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. Good judgment, a careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence. These are the qualities we shall need when we take step 9. Timing is critical. You don't want to go to somebody you just pissed off last week or whatever. Say, sorry. That's not what it's about. It's about cleaning up my side of the street, making my right pass, making myself accountable, and doing the right thing, making amends for my past. You're welcome.
Who else has a question for Todd? Anyone on Zoom?
Hey, Todd.
I see you going for your mute button. Hi, Alan.
Great, as usual. You know, that just what you said there just prompted a question me. Is there ever a time when a person should take someone else with them to make an amends because they're fearful of the situation?
I heard it.
No, but...
Can you repeat the question? Kevin
no,
asked you.
You repeat it, so it goes a little bit.
Okay.
Did you really want me to?
No, the question was, is there ever a time where you should take somebody on amends with you? It's been my experience, I haven't had to do that. But no one, Alcoholics Anonymous, is as big and immense as it is. There may be an occasion where somebody will want to take somebody with them, even if it's just to drive them to the location where they have to go. I haven't had that experience, Helen, so I don't know that I can really comment on it. I suspect the answer would be yes, and I can't think of a situation right now where that would be applicable. I'm sure if I thought hard enough and long enough, I'm sure I could come up with something, but I don't have that experience, so I can't share that. I'm sorry.
Okay, one more question.
Sure.
While we're at it.
Sure.
You ever worked with someone who was incapable of moving that person off the hell no, I'm never making amends part of their list?
The answer was, the question is there... That work with somebody that wasn't able to move that person off the hell no, no way I'm going to make an amends list. Well, sure. They're still praying for the willingness. I can't. Yeah, that's a really good point. We know the people that we owe an amends to, and they just haven't had the willingness to go make that amend yet. And just my belief, and I'm speaking for me when I say this, how long do you want to suffer? Because I suffered a lot because I didn't make amends. It's amazing the amount of weight that was lifted off my shoulders when I did make that amends. You know, you go in, I don't know if you're anything like me, I get a lot of pride, I get a lot of ego. I still get a lot of pride, I still get a lot of ego. And when I'm sitting there thinking, you know, cross my arms and stomping my foot and say, there's no way I'm making that amends, and I don't, I'm the one that suffers. Because when I make that amends, my God, the weight that comes off of me, my heart is so much lighter, the load on my shoulder is so much less by making amends, by going and making amends. I can't tell you how good I felt when I made amends to that gentleman. I knew that I was wrong. I knew I owed an amends. I swore I was never going to make an amends. But when I did, and I felt so much better, so much better. It's easy to make amends to the ones... your parents. It's difficult to go to people that you don't particularly care for. Very difficult. But I owe it an amends. So, yes. They're the ones that suffer. So, yes, I have had that experience. Thank you.
Thanks.
You betcha.
Hey, Todd. Jim Alcoholic.
Jimmy, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, man?
Good, good.
Hey, so, have you ever... kind of alerted someone in advance to kind of let them know, you know, you need to get together with them, and maybe a little bit about why, not that they might not be able to figure it out, on their own, but you know, it's important enough that you don't want to just catch them blindsided with your events.
The question was, have I ever alerted anybody prior to going making an amends, so I didn't blindside them? You know what, Jim? I did not. Other than my parents, I'm going to come over and talk to them, but no, I did not alert anybody prior to making an amends. Most of the time, the majority of the time that I made an amends, there they were. They were just put in my path and started talking, and bam, out it came. The gentleman who, again, I'm going to go back to the guy who, the rent-a-cop. As many times as he was put in my path, two chicken, and it just came out the one day. So, no, I have not had to call and alert anybody or set an appointment up to go make an amends. Thank you, though. Thanks.
Anyone else have a question for Todd?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Okay, just to wrap up, you said there's four ways or four types of amends. There's the amends you make now, the amends you make later, then the amends that you'll never make or no way, and what's the third one?
I may or may not make. I call those an amends of convenience. If they put in my path, yeah, I owe an amends, but maybe I will, maybe I won't.
That's great. But,
truth be told, the people that were on that type of a list, I did make an amend. Some of them were down the road. The rent-a-cop would be one of those. One of those ones I may or may not. I didn't want to, but. And a better way of living is the living amends. I can't stress that enough. The living amends, how wonderful it is for a family to see somebody making a living amends. Where prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, the shame that I caused my family, and I don't do that today. I don't do that today. And it's all due to this beautiful program of Alcoholics Anonymous and working and living the 12 steps. Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes, because I do, but what a beautiful way to live. What a beautiful way to live. I really truly think that if the world would incorporate the 12 steps into their lives, can you imagine what a beautiful world we'd have? What a beautiful world it would be.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.